My name's Nigel. We're going to continue. Last week we covered resurrection, and we focused on the resurrection fact that Jesus was physically resurrected from the dead bodily. We covered that part. We want to continue today. Yes, resurrection changes everything for him, changes for us. And we want to get into that in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read you the verses. We'll take them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse three sections of verses. Verse 1 starts like this. Paul says, "Now I want to make clear to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, for I passed on to you that as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he is raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are alive today, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as a one born out of due time, he appeared to me." That's the first section. It's about Jesus' resurrection. I just want to emphasize this to you. Think about the physicality of what is said about Jesus, right? That's the one point. Jesus died. He died a physical death in his physical body. He was crucified on the cross. He died physically. And secondly, he was buried. His body, physical body, was put in the tomb. That's burial. That's a physical thing. Right? On the third day, he was raised. And he was raised physically, bodily. Right? Remember the basic thing. The tomb was empty. Right? All the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the last scene in those Gospels is the women go to the tomb on the third day. They find the stone is rolled away, and the tomb is empty. Empty of what? Empty of the body of Jesus, right? So physically, bodily, Jesus rose from the dead. That's the point. It was not just a spiritual, it's not just his spirit went somewhere, his soul went somewhere, his body stayed there. That's not what is spoken, what is testified. What is testified is Jesus physically, corporeally, right, as a person, Jesus rose from the dead physically. That's resurrection. Resurrection is coming back from the dead with a body, okay? And that he appeared, right? Then you have this account. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to 500, then to the apostles, then to James, then last of all to me. Paul gives you the account. Jesus physically, visibly appeared to the disciples, different groups. They were witnesses, right? They were with him. They contacted him, right? Jesus, some of them, Jesus said, "Touch me and see," right? Jesus said, you know, "I'm not a ghost. I'm not a ghost, a phantom, or right, whatever, apparition. No. Look at me, touch me and see," right? This is important. Jesus physically, visibly rose from the dead, right? The end of Luke, we had that last week. Jesus said, "Okay, you guys got any fish? Got any food?" They said, "We got some, here's some, yeah, we got a fish burger." Fish. Jesus ate the fish. It didn't just fall to the ground, boom, right? To show them that he was, he had a physical presence, bodily presence among them in resurrection. Right? You got it? This is this historical record. Paul is saying, he's writing, it's not that long after the events, it's maybe 25 years, it's within a generation. When he writes, and he writes about, this is what I was taught, what I heard earlier. So these accounts were going around. Paul names names. And he's basically saying, you want to check this out? You want to confirm it? Go talk to Peter. Go talk to the 12. Go talk. There's 500 and most of them are alive today. Okay? I can give you the name. You want the address? You know, go check it out with them. Right? There were people who could confirm or deny that the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. Amen? This is important because what? His resurrection demonstrates and is the example of what our resurrection is about. Right? What happened to him, God can do the same for us and will do the same for us. Right? So this is history. You know, and we could go on. Okay, what explains, you know, why the Christian movement began? Think about it. The founder of the Christian movement, Jesus, was crucified, was terminated, was put and buried in the grave. Typically, that's the end of the movement. It's all over, onto something else. That's the typical. No, Jesus rose from the dead, right? And those scared, you know, discouraged disciples were changed. Yeah, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's different. That was not the end of the story. It was the beginning of another chapter of the story, and the Christian message went out, right? And the focus was God had resurrected Jesus, and that was important. That was crucial. That changed. The disciples, right? Peter and those with him, they confronted the Jewish leadership. This is in Acts, and he told them, you leaders, Caiaphas, and your buddies, you crucified Jesus, right? Yes, they did. And their response to them is, God raised him from the dead. You terminated him, God germinated him. You put it to an end, God brought him back. God vindicated Jesus. That was their message, right? God vindicated Jesus by raising him from the dead physically, right? Okay, we got that, all right? You know, that's why the Christian message spread and it eventually came to us, right? You know, and you can confirm these people. You want to know about Caiaphas, the high priest? You go to the internet, look up the ossuary of Caiaphas. There's a bone box that belongs to Caiaphas. Caiaphas lived, Caiaphas condemned Jesus, Caiaphas opposed the Christians, and Caiaphas died. And they put his bones in a box, and you can go see it. There's no such box for Jesus. Amen? There's no bone box for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Right? Okay, you know, okay. Sorry, let me not get carried away. Okay, that's just the part. Now, okay, Paul says that. Okay, now, next section, sorry. Okay, so good. Okay, now, Paul's now gone from the Jewish, right? He's confronting the Greek believers from a Greek world, and he's saying, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you in Corinth, you Christians, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? You say, no, that's a weird idea. We don't accept that. Paul says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our proclamation is vain. Your faith is vain. We told you, we proclaimed Jesus is raised. If he's not raised, we're liars. What you believed is off. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. There's no proof that if Christ is not raised, there's no proof that his death was worth anything. If he's raised from the dead, there's proof. His death has value. His death is accepted by God. His death works, right? So if there's no resurrection, you're still in your sins. Those then who've fallen asleep, those who've died in Jesus have also perished. It's all over. If we have put our hope in Christ in for this life only, we shall be pitied more than anyone. Okay, if it's only about this life only, you know, it's not that great that there's resurrection. Okay, next section. But, verse 20, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, that's Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man, Jesus. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. In Adam all die, but in Christ all who are in Christ will be made alive, resurrected. Right? Okay. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Okay, that's as far as we're going today. Okay, let me just mention, a couple weeks ago, I was in UK. I went back to where I was raised, outside Manchester, and I had my birthday. Thank you. And I think most of you know, I have a twin brother, so we share a birthday. He would always tell me when we're growing up, I was born 30 minutes before you. I'm older than you. He's still older than me. But 30 minutes when you're 70 is pretty insignificant. So there we are. That's my twin brother, Howard, and me. And we celebrated our 70th birthday. When you're 70, you look at life a little bit different. If those of you approaching 70, okay, if you're 70, 80, there's a psalm for you in the Bible. It's designed for you, written for you. It's Psalm number 90. It talks about being 70 and talks about being 80. Okay, I'll let you read it. The beginning of that psalm, and this is helpful, the beginning of that psalm is saying what? God, you've been their refuge, shelter for all the generations. From eternity to eternity, you are God. That's the start. That's the beginning. God, you are the eternal God. You're from eternity before creation all the way through to the end. You are the eternal God. That's who we believe in. That's who we can rest our life on, the fact that God is eternal. Amen? Right? You know, and we do, you know, the Christian faith is not just, some people say, oh, the Christian faith is about making sure you're okay when you die. When you die, you want to go to a good place, it's called heaven. You don't want to go to a bad place called hell. So the Christian faith resolves that problem. You just make sure, it's like insurance. You get the insurance, so make sure you go to a good place and don't go to a bad place, and then you get on with life. No, that's not the Christian message. The Christian message is not just about when I die, I want to go to a good place. It's about, the Christian message is about life now. Life now and life later. Life in the present and life in the future. The Christian life, Christian faith covers both. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Presently, my life, what makes the difference in my life is Christ. Christ is for my living now. You need Christ now. And he also says, and to die is gain. Christian life is for now. Christian life is for later. Right? It covers both. So, but we do have to, on occasion, cover this matter because it is relevant. You know, you go through life. You're born in a family, you're raised. Maybe when you're a teenager, when you're 20s, your grandparents begin to pass away. Right? You confront death. Right? When you're 30s, 40s, maybe your parents depart. Right? When you're 70, 80, your contemporaries begin to depart. You confront death in different ways. Right? So, and Paul covers that. He didn't, yes, Corinthians covers living and issues, but also covers this matter. What is Christ is for our living today. That's a matter of faith, believing, love. And Christ is also for our future. That's a matter of hope. What is your hope? You're a Christian? What's your hope? Where do you rest your hope? Okay, Paul, that's in this issue, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says three things remain: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Yeah, but what about hope? Hope for a Christian, our hope is the resurrection from the death, from death. Resurrection. That's our hope. That's our, right? Our hope is the eternal God resting. Okay, that video, which was produced by our creatives, covers the arc of the Bible. Remember, God's creation is good, but then something intruded into the creation, right? There was problems brought in, sin and death. That tells what? The basic biblical point. God's creation is good, and everything God created is good. God said, good, good, very good. That's God's creation. Everything that God created is good. However, Genesis 3, the fall of man's choice to take his own way, choose autonomy versus relationship with God, led to the entry of two things. Number one, sin. Number two, death. That tells you what? Death, in the Bible, the biblical view, sin is not something created by God. Neither is death something made by God. Death is normal. It happens to people. However, death is not natural. It's not something created by the good God in his good creation. Death is an intruder. Death interrupts. Death derails. Death destroys. And God is going to overcome, resolve the problem of sin and the problem of death. Right? So we need that. How does it, in what way? God's people in the Bible, this is before Christ, God's people came to believe that God was a God of resurrection. That even when they died, God, the eternal God, who alone has immortality, who's not subject to death, can overcome death, this God could bring them back from the dead. That was their belief. And you can see that one by the end of the Old Testament, you see one clear case is in Daniel. We have verse, the end of Daniel. Daniel is told this. Daniel's told, many who sleep in the dust of the earth. That's a poetic way to say they've died and they're laid, right? Not in a bed of sleep. They're laid in the earth in that sense. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Will awake. There will be a time at the end. Many who sleep, who've died physically, who've been laid to rest horizontal in the earth, who are inert, will awake. Will awake. That's resurrection. Some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. Those who have insight will shine like stars forever and ever. And this is a personal word to Daniel. And as for you, Daniel was getting old. Daniel, go your way to the end. Finish your life. You, Daniel, you will rest. Means what? You will die. You'll finish your course. You'll be laid to rest like the others. You will rest. And then you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of days. Daniel, you'll finish your human life. You'll be buried like others. However, that's not the end. At the end, you will stand. You'll be raised up, and you'll receive your allotted portion at the end of days. That was the belief in resurrection among God's people, right? Daniel, you're going to die. You're going to sleep. You're going to be buried. But that's not the end. You, Daniel, you will stand, and the word for resurrection, anastasis, is to stand up, right? It can rise up. You can either think of somebody sleeping physically right in the morning, waking up. Actually, in the context, rise up from the dead. It's not just physical sleep. Rise up from the dead. You've been raised, you've been laid to rest, you've been buried, but you rise up, you stand up again. That's resurrection. It's physical resurrection. Daniel and God's people in the Old Testament believed God would raise them up. Daniel, you will be raised. And when they thought about you, It wasn't just, you know, an inner core of them. It wasn't just some abstract life spark. It was their whole being, right? Because they believe God created them in their entirety, body, soul, spirit, different aspects. God created their whole being, and it was all created by God, and God cared for their whole being, and God would, this God who cared for their whole being, would raise them up in their entirety. All right? That's the biblical view, right? That's the view we should have. God cares for you, and God cares for your entire being, and God wants, values you in your entire being, and the promise of resurrection is that you and I will be raised in our entirety, body, soul, spirit, everything. Amen? That's the way God raised Jesus, right? Physically, visibly, right? And God will raise up the Savior. Now, this is different from the Greek ideas of the time, right? Paul, among others, took the gospel away beyond Israel, the Jewish land, and took it into the Greek realm, Greece, Athens, Corinth, etc., that area, which was very influenced by Greek philosophy, right? So now this idea, Paul was a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. He had a biblical view of people and of God. However, he's bringing the gospel to people with a different view. Greek philosophy, what was the essence of Greek philosophy? One strong element is, let's have a little lesson about Plato. Yeah, Paul, yeah, Plato. Okay, Paul, what was, we said Paul. Paul has a biblical view, okay, resurrection of the entire being. Plato and other Greeks had this idea that for them, the immaterial world of thought, concept, idea, mind, soul was the good world, good realm. But however, the material realm, body, matter, things, was corrupt, was negative, declining, decaying. So their idea, and this is Plato especially, the idea, man's soul is good. Man's soul itself is immortal, is eternal, and man's soul lives within his body. Think about like a bird in a cage. Your immortal soul is within your body, and that's the real you is your internal being, and the outer you is your body. And your body confines your soul, immortal soul, your psyche. That's the real you. And since matter, your body's physical matter, it is negative, restrictive, and the real you, immaterial you, is positive. So when you die, the negative part, the body's gone, and your soul is freed. Your immortal soul escapes from the physical realm and goes to another better realm, right? Okay, that was the Greek concept. That was Plato's concept. And you say, why would the, Paul says, how come some of you in Corinth say there's no resurrection of the dead? Answer, we picked up that idea from Greek philosophy. Plato told us the body's negative, and so who cares? The body's over, that's good. Now we're all flying free to some other good place. Okay, that's the concept Paul is confronting, and Paul says, that's dangerous. Number two, that's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible says, and if you go that way, that's why you're in a lot of problems, right? So, okay. The Jewish people, God's people, believed that God would raise them physically in their entirety after death. That was part of what God could do for them. The Greeks had this other concept. Okay, why are we talking about Plato? Because actually, in the early centuries, a lot of church leaders were from that Greek area, and eventually a lot of those concepts were brought in to Christian teaching. the immortality of the soul. The Bible says God alone is immortal. God alone is eternal. You're not eternal. You're not immortal apart from God. God alone has eternity. God alone is immortal, right? So the Bible does not say you have a mortal soul that goes somewhere. No, the Bible says God has immortality, right? So are we following Plato or following Jesus? You know, the idea that, and this is fairly common, if you ask, you know, what happens when Christians die, the idea, answer, they go to heaven, and that's the end of the story, that sounds very much like Plato. You die, your body's buried, then your soul goes off to heaven, right? That's not in Corinthians, right? In Corinthians, our hope is not going to heaven. Our hope is resurrection, resurrection of the dead. That's what Paul is saying here, right? And we should be happy. That means what? God values all of you. God values you wholly, entirely. God does not just value your soul or your spirit, the immaterial part of you, and let's send the rest of you to the trash can. It's not disposable. No, God values you entirely, body, soul, spirit, you know, in the different aspects. Amen? And God is going to redeem you and I entirely, wholly. That's what the promise of resurrection is. So Paul presents this. So we as Christians should believe this. This is our hope, right? Otherwise, we have let something less than the gospel. Okay, Paul says, what God did. Okay, how does this work? Then Paul's answer is, number one, first fruits harvest. First fruits harvest. Paul says, okay, Jesus died. Jesus resurrected physically, materially, with a resurrection body. He is the first fruits, and the image is, you know, a crop. Think of grapes, think of tomatoes, whatever you're growing, a whole field. Some of it ripens first, some of it ripens later. The part that gets tomatoes that get red the first, that is your first fruits, right? That's the example of the crop. That's the first time you get to see what the end product will be, and the rest follows. And it's going to be the same as the first. That's Paul's example. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He is the first fruit. He's the example. He's the pattern. What happened to him is going to happen to you. But he's first, you're later. He's early, you're later. But Jesus was raised from the dead physically, bodily. He got a new body. He's resurrected in entirety. And so will you be. Amen. That's the promise. That's the example. He's first, you're later. His resurrection happened historically. Our resurrection will happen in the future. There's a sequence, there's an order. Number two, Paul says this, there's a matter of being in Adam and being in Christ. He says this, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Right? There's two people. There's the first Adam, first man. That's actually called Adam, man. There's the second man, the last Adam. That's Jesus. There's two people, and you're related to one or both. Right? He says this. Adam, God created Genesis. God created man, mankind. That's Adam, right? However, mankind failed. Mankind brought something in, sin and death, and that infected all of us, you and I. You may say, I wasn't there. You're affected, right? Think about it. If somebody brought in measles into this room, if you have measles, please don't come, right? If somebody brings in measles, okay, measles will spread. Virus spreads to everybody. You may say, I didn't ask for it. No, but it came, right? In Adam, Adam opened the door. In came sin. As a result of sin, death came in Adam. That's why there's a sin nature. That's why people die, because sin and death came in with Adam. As in Adam, all die. Let me ask you, are you in Adam? Are you in Adam? Not sure. Well, in the Bible, Adam's the first man. Adam's the created man. Doesn't matter what ethnic group, language, etc., geography, where you're from. Our whole human race is from Adam. And what Adam did affected all of us. So we all start off being in Adam. In Adam, all die. In Adam, all are condemned. Okay. That's universal. That's universal. It applies to all of us. That's the way. You don't have to do anything. You're in Adam. You don't have to do anything. Sin is there. Death will be there. However, Paul says this: all who are in Adam will die, but all who are in Christ will be made alive. Amen? Amen. That's the contrast. That's the choice, right? If you're in Adam, you don't do anything. Sin, death is coming to you. However, you and I can be in Christ. In Christ, all will be made alive. Let me ask you, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Right? Being in Christ is not universal. Being in Christ is conditional. You have to take some action to be in Christ, to be linked with Christ. That's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. You need to accept it. Christ rose from the dead. You need to accept him in resurrection, right? Then you can be joined to Christ. And that's what we symbolize by baptism, right? When we baptize people, baptism is symbolizing what's happened. I have believed in Christ. I take his death as my death for my sins, and I'm going to be resurrected with him. I am in Christ. Amen? Amen? So if you haven't made that choice, it's clear, it's not, the default is Adam. The choice, the option is Christ, being in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. Amen? Today, we receive the seal, the deposit, the down payment of the Holy Spirit with a view to that final resurrection when Jesus comes. Amen? Amen. We believe in the resurrection. If you're a Christian, we believe in the resurrection. We believe Jesus died for our sins, and we believe God raised him from the dead as a proof, as a sign, as an indication that God accepted his work, that our sins could be forgiven, and in him we could have eternal life, the life of eternity. Amen? God raised him from the dead. We believe in resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Number two, we also believe in our resurrection. Right? You need to believe two kinds of resurrection. Number one, Jesus rose from the dead. I believe in resurrection. Number two, I believe that we will rise again. This is the promise. All who are in Christ will be made alive, will be raised up from death to life, physically, bodily, the way Jesus is. Yes, this current body will die. However, God will raise it up and reconstitute it, right? One scholar said it this way. Think about those of you who think in terms of computers. John Polkinghorne said, think about software, hardware. He said this: God will download our software. That's you, soul, whatever, mind, whatever. God will download our software onto his hardware. His hardware. That means your body gets buried until the time when he gives us new hardware. That's resurrection body. To run the software again for ourselves. You get it? If you're not computer savvy, then... Okay, your current body, you have a current body today, amen? When you die, that body will go to the grave, and the Bible says you will be with Christ. You're away from the body, home with the Lord. You'll be with Christ. Then when Jesus comes again, God will give you another body in continuity with the present body. It will be raised up in resurrection, and then you will be reconstituted as a whole person in resurrection. Amen? You get it? But you will still be you. You will still be you, but in resurrection. You get it? God values you. He values your body. You may say, I don't like my body. I don't think I'm that handsome. I want to be George Clooney. Isn't he supposed to be handsome? God says, I like you. I made you the way you are. I'm going to resurrect you as you, not as George Clooney. Otherwise, we have a million George Clooneys. Very confusing. No, God will resurrect you as you. Amen? Amen? A new you, renewed you, resurrected you. Amen? A recognizable you. Amen? Amen? We believe in the resurrection. We're going to sing about that. There's a song we're going to sing. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. We're going to sing a song. It says, I believe. I believe. Let's sing. How about we stand up? We're going to sing this song. It says, notice the following. It says, I believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus died. I believe he rose again, right? So I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Number two, it also says, I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again. That's our resurrection. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You died for our sins. You died to reconcile us to God. You died to regenerate us, give us eternal life. And you died and resurrected, and you will resurrect us. The way you resurrected Jesus, God, you will resurrect us. This is our hope. This is our expectation. We thank you and praise you this morning as we sing. Amen.